Move on and celebrate freedom. Could there be a more appropriate slogan for a country racked by daily mass shootings, where citizens are quickly having their rights chipped away, and which is still dealing with the fallout of an attempted political coup? Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton, author and freelance journalist. Catch us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. July 4th, Independence Day, that most American of holidays, and this week marked in the most American of ways, with a wave of more than a dozen mass shootings. Most notable was the Highland Park shooting in Chicago, which left 7 people dead and led to scenes of mass hysteria. Within hours of the shooting, one Republican candidate for Illinois governor, Darren Bailey, went to Facebook to say people should move on and celebrate freedom, a statement he later apologized for, but does, I think, underline the overall attitude towards these shootings. Move on, celebrate freedom. Ed, any thoughts?
When I was a kid, we used to go to cowboy movies, and the good guys and the bad guys would have a shootout. Never run out of ammunition. A lot of people get killed. And everybody thought that was really neat. We may be going back to that. That we'll just be shooting at one another, and everybody thinks it's really neat. The problem is this is spreading. This just happened in Europe. The United States is the harbinger of bad things.
Wasn't it Stalin who allegedly said, one death is a tragedy, a million is a statistic? I mean, that's what these gun deaths are now. They are.
That's what they are now.
Yeah, just
that's
statistics, right. Yeah. What do we see following on from the actual, you know, gun control bill that Biden signed into law just after Uvalde?
Well, nothing in this case. The guy was old enough. We're just going to see these mimic killings, and nothing will stop it until the guns stop and the gun manufacturers are sued. I know I'm a broken record on this, but it will not happen in the courts.
January 6 hearings and other investigations into the 2020 election. In Georgia, the Georgia grand jury has issued subpoenas for several of Trump's closest advisors, including Senator Lindsey Graham and Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. Ed, what's the latest?
Well, the latest on this is, of course, all these people are being sued by the voting machine companies. These are the same list of people being sued by them. Trump has been on national radio and television with his remarks, which were clearly against the law. Even if there wasn't a law, it's still intimidation. What is really hopeful and surprising is the governor, and he's probably going to be re-elected governor again, is not among the Trump faithful. So that means this is going to be a real trial. And the possibilities here are dreadful for Trump and his allies, because these are violations of the 13th Amendment, which states can sue under. They can also sue under a whole bunch of other things like intimidation and the like, and the Trump people would have to answer to that. This could mean jail time for Donald Trump himself.
I mean, I think that is one of the key questions that people have about it. You know, there's a lot of talk about the January 6 hearings, and it's almost like a who gets there first situation. Maybe the January 6 hearings aren't likely to lead to anything real, but these Georgia situation is more likely.
Well, you just have to have a bunch of different ways, paths to this outcome.
Protests continue over the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, with particular ire leveled at Conservative Justice Clarence Thomas. Some claim, though, that Joe Biden lacks urgency on this issue, and while Democrats are happy to fundraise, little is being done. What's the latest, Ed?
What can be done? That's what I ask everyone. What can be done? The president's powers are limited by the Constitution. The last president didn't think his were, but as soon as he tried something outside the Constitution, he was slapped back. All of a sudden, Joe Biden has to do things that Trump was never asked to do, couldn't do, or wouldn't do, and no other president was. I think the president is now becoming a scapegoat for the lack of capacity among the American people.
I mean, that's almost the difficulty when it comes to talking about presidential politics now is, well, the president has become this one-man figure for his party when it wasn't always the case. And it's certainly, if you look at the likes of Australian politics, we're adopting that more and more, that the prime minister answers for things that probably should be answered by his party at large.
And the ministers. So I think Joe is now a convenient scapegoat for the party. And this leaves them nowhere. The Republicans are nowhere. The nation is in a total mess. Already people are talking about the governor of California. And he went to Montana, so now people are saying he's violated his oath of office by going to another state that doesn't recognize women's rights. Come on. Now, if Biden went to Montana, would you say he'd not be doing what the president should do? Give us a break. I don't know whether Gavin Newsom would be a great president, but let's let him say what he can do, not look at little picky crap that we're doing now for possible candidates.
I do worry, though, the Democrats might see this one as an opportunity rather than an issue to be solved. I mean, there's obviously going to be a key issue in the midterm elections coming up later this year, and they're currently fundraising off the back of Roe versus Wade. There's also the conversation around 2024, Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. If Donald Trump was somehow to avoid all these charges and run again, well, Biden's still the obvious answer. But, you know, it reminds me obviously of 2016, where Hillary Clinton was happy to run against Donald Trump because obviously she would win against Trump. And we saw how that one sort of turned out.
It didn't happen. So I think the Democrats, and I think Biden, as he gets closer to it, will probably bow out. But he wants to be as strong as he can now.
I just worry that they are continuing to play politics. Democrats are continuing to play politics, while Republicans, they don't have any answers, any plans to solve problems that are facing, you know, Americans on a daily basis. But at the same time, they're still getting votes and they're getting shit done.
They are not getting anything done. The Supreme Court got something done, but there hasn't been anything done by the Republican Party.
Well, I just mean under Trump, that was obviously the conservative justices towards the Supreme Court, and
but every president has that power, and that started long before, and they did get something done by withholding the possibility of the Democratic president putting up a justice. Let's hope that the Senate remains Democratic, and even if it's by one vote, the Dems get back in the House.
We mentioned NATO last week, moving against Russia as world leaders meet in Spain. Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene this week suggested that the United States should withdraw from NATO to avoid war with Russia. Now, Green is an idiot. She's a lunatic. There's a reason we don't usually talk about the 20 ridiculous things she's had to say sort of every week. But Ed, you know, once the party of the Red Scare, Republicans are getting cozier with Russia, and you know, this is obviously
they're getting cozy with anyone who's an autocrat.
That's exactly right.
And she has no appeal to real democratic people. Her appeal is to the far right and the autocrats, and autocrats are doing well around the world, very, very well. One of the problems we have is that everything is so complicated, people by default are looking for government as a solution. If my kids aren't in the right school, it's the government's fault. The fact that I don't walk them to the right school or didn't choose the right school, nothing is my fault. The government is the default bad guy. I do agree with Reagan on this. Get the government off your back, but get the government on your side. So creating equal opportunities should be the path, not looking for the government to solve the problem. The problem about the court can be solved by the Democrats by electing Democrats. Take the same strategy. It took 50 years for the Republicans. It may take 30 or 40 years, but make that your strategy. Don't just die in a ditch of pity.
Speaking of Russia, Russian ally Belarus has threatened Western nations that they will take action and officially enter the conflict if they feel their sovereignty is threatened. In fact, claiming Ukraine is already bombing targets inside of their borders. Anything to add here on the Russia-Ukraine?
Well, conflict? I think this is, Ukraine's basically saying, keep it up, guys, but we have to make some noise for our own internal constituency here. But notice the Belarus have not put their army in play. And they don't want to. So all this sword wrangling and all this going on is about staying out of the war and making sure they stay out of the war by saying we'll do something. If they said nothing and they start being overrun, then they'd be forced through popular positioning to take sides with Russia.
In fact, it's my understanding that the Belarusian leader, Alexander Lukashenko, was obviously, he's the one making these threats, but there has been a number of his top generals that have signed letters saying exactly that. They do not want to enter a military conflict.
No, but he has to cover his back, right?
And look, North Korean state media, which is about as reliable a source as Marjorie Taylor Greene, has made claims that the United States is trying to create a NATO-style arrangement in the Asian region to oppose them after a recent agreement to strengthen military ties between the US, South Korea, and Japan. Now, look, there's no doubt that the US is trying to secure its interests in the Asia-Pacific region. I don't think there's much of a conspiracy in that, although largely, of course, in opposition to China. Ed, anything in the region?
No, I think this is, they're right. They're absolutely right. They're telling the truth for a change. I applaud this.
I think, you know, like broken clock's probably right at least twice a day.
No, in this case, I think they are actually right. The movement to secure the Pacific is both North Korea and China. And that's what we're aiming at, and the North Koreans know it. And the Chinese know it. So now all of a sudden, China and the North Korean have something in common. And North Korea needs food from China.
Oh, no, look, I don't disagree at all that North Korea is certainly on the agenda as well. But, you know, how is how are we sort of looking when it comes to approaching the political situation in the region at the moment?
I think our rhetoric is high, our actions low. Thank God we have a prime minister in Australia and a foreign minister in Australia who are picking up the battle for the United States here in this region. They're taking the leadership as they should. They're not supplicants. I find it really encouraging to see my prime minister out there saying we're going to do things to strengthen our relationship with the Pacific nations, not just with aid, but with arms and other things, and put them on our side. Unlike the last government, which was cutting back on aid to them and acting like they were servants. Mm. We are making all the right moves now. We have a better prime minister than we've had here since when? Bob Hawke?
And look, speaking of prime ministers, Boris Johnson is once again in trouble following the reveal that he appointed lawmaker Chris Pincher to a key post despite allegations of sexual misconduct, which Johnson is said to have also joked about in private. Two of the government's top ministers have resigned, citing a lack of faith in Johnson's leadership. And people are calling it curtains for his government. Again, kind of like, you know, how Donald Trump, it was always going to be the one to sink him. This one would be the one to sink him, and it never quite does. Thoughts, Ed?
Well, first of all, sexual impropriety and Boris, aren't they the same thing? Isn't that redundant?
Right.
Secondly, there is no one else to lead the country. Even on the labor side, the labor leader is nice and feisty and angry and handles the bully pulpit well, but has no vision, no direction. He is a Tony A of England. He's good in opposition, but no one would want him in charge. So England's really adrift. It's unfortunate, but at this point, I'll stick with Boris.
Ed and I will, of course, be back next week to discuss all the latest goings on. Make sure to subscribe wherever you find the podcast and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.